ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Hare Krishna, welcome to all the devotees. I think for many of you this will be the first time that you've visited this holy place of Kanchipuram. Those who are from Tamil Nadu have probably visited previously, otherwise most of you maybe haven't. Very important and ancient holy place. We often have these Vyasa Puja festivals in holy places. Yeah, translation, get to your respective spot. And also we have regular Shravan Kirtan camps in holy places. The last two Shravan Kirtan camps we had were in Rishikesh and Dhaka. So this holy place, Kanchipuram, is somewhat different from those holy places. Of course, each of them has their own unique atmosphere, but this is also a secular town. Some holy places are like that. Varanasi, Allahabad, they're holy places, but they're also secular towns. So it's like that here also. It's not solely centered on the deity or on some particular facet. It's not solely a pilgrimage site. Kanchipuram is also, since recently, a district town, so it's an administrative headquarters. And from long time back has been a place of silk weave, famous for silk saris. Is this the echo is on at all? No? No? All right. Is the treble too high? Okay. As Varanasi is famous in North India for silk saris, so Kanchi is in the south. So it's not my department. Maybe some of the ladies, all of the ladies will be interested. Kanchipuram, also known as Kanchi for short, has also been an educational center since time immemorial for Buddhists, Jains, and Hindus, and that is still continuing with slaughterhouse colleges, as Srila Prabhupada kindly informed us, that modern education is simply the educational institutions are slaughterhouses for the soul. So anyway, we've come here to this holy place on the bank of the river Vegavati. Like many of the rivers in Tamil Nadu, it's most of the year there's a river bank, river bed, but no river. So it's called Vegavati, which means flowing with great force, but now not flowing at all. That is a sign of Kali Yuga. No water. Of course, the water gets all dammed up previously. Vegavati is also a name of Yamuna. This is famous as a holy city also since time immemorial. The secular history is traced out for more than 1,000 years, but is mentioned in Shastra since time in Mahabharata and many Shastras. Balaram visited here. He visited all these holy places. He visited, is mentioned as one of the Sapta Moksha Puris, the seven places which give liberation. That means if you die here, you get liberation. So it's the only one in the south, actually. All the rest are in the north. Shall I dare to try to remember them? Well, there's Mathura, Dwaraka, Ujjain, Haridwar, Mayapur, which means, Haridwar, Ayodhya, and then one more is Kanchi. So Sapta, Moksha Puris. So as one of the places which award liberation, it has been visited by great saintly persons since time immemorial. It's a place which attracts saintly people. Never know who he was in his previous life. The dog. To get born in Kanchi, even as a dog, is probably better than to be born as a human elsewhere. Since time immemorial, the temples here, they stated that this Varadaraja Paramal temple was built 1100 years ago, but that is the present manifestation, because actually this Varadaraja, the main deity here in Vishnu country, the city is divided into Vishnu country and Shiva country. So the main deity for the Vaishnavas is, of course they're all non-different, but the most visited temple, largest temple of the, no, it's not even the largest, but, well, most famous temple is the Varadaraja temple. So at the time of creation, this Varadaraja, which means the king of the king of boon givers. Vara means boon, people come to a great person and ask for something. So Varadaraja, he's the king, the best of, if we want anything, we should go to Krishna. That is the point. So he manifested at the time of the creation in the yajna performed by Lord Brahma. Therefore this place is called Kanchi. Ka means Brahma and Anchi means something else, which I can't remember. I'll have to. Anchi refers to his worship of Vishnu at this place. So it is from time immemorial. Modern history, they state that humankind, became civilized maybe 3,000, maybe 4,000 years ago, but the Puranic description is there going long, long back. So this worship of Lord Vishnu has been going on here since time immemorial, and which means that all great saintly persons must have come here naturally when they visit. The holy persons, they travel from place to place to on the pretext of pilgrimage. Pretext means they like to also visit the holy places, although they are themselves walking holy places, because they carry Krishna in their heart. Bhavadvidha bhagavatas tirtha bhuta swayam prabhu tirtha kurvanti tirthani svantas dena gadabrita. Because they carry the Lord in their heart, they purify even the holy places. The holy places are purified, automatically pure. They're the place of the Lord, but people with various motives come, and even sinful people may come. So the accumulation of sinfulness in holy places is cleared by the great devotees who come to the, they naturally like to come to these places. So, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his tour of South India came here. Nityananda Prabhu came here. It is said, although it's not for sure, that Charnakya Pandit, who is not particularly a holy person, but he's a famous person and he's important for the members of ISKCON because Srila Prabhupada quoted him. He's often quoted in Srila Prabhupada's books. Said to have been born here, not sure. So we'll also be releasing at this festival a commentary on Charnakya's Niti Shastra with by my godbrother Patit Pavan Prabhu, an updated version, re-released after almost 40 years. It's also the birthplace of Poigoi Alva. I probably didn't say that correctly. Poigai Alva. Poigai Alva. One of the precursors of Sri Ramanujacharya. And there's so much. This place, Kanchi, Puri, Vrindavan, these holy places, there's so much history and so many. You could have a whole team of scholars spending their whole life researching, writing. There's no end because so much history, so much heritage is there. There's so much, even from the mundane point of view, there's been so much history here with so many kings coming, fighting and taking over. Even Aurangzeb's army reached all the way down here at one time, at which point the deities were taken away, the three main deities here are the Ekambarishwar, Lord Shiva, Varada Raja, Lord Vishnu, and Kamakshi Amma, Shakti, Durga. So these deities were all taken because they, Aurangzeb's reputation as an iconoclast, a breaker of deities, was such that they didn't want to take the risk. So he was here for some time. Marathas, they also ruled it. The Vijayanagara king, the Hoshala kings in what's now called Karnataka from Mysore area. And so many Chola kings, Pallava kings. It's been under different rules. We can't imagine now because it's relatively peaceful since the British came. They also fought here. There's a whole story about that. I'll get to that in course of time. British and then independence. So it's relatively peaceful, but this has been a wealthy city and a center of contention for different rulers for over the centuries. One Chinese traveler, well, it's written down here. I really don't know how to pronounce it, but you don't either, so I can get away with it. Huanzang, he visited here almost 1,500 years ago. Why did he visit here? Well, people come long distances traveling. At that time, they would come for trade. And another reason, there was interaction between China and India by trade and for religious reasons also. At that time, Buddhism was prominent in India. So this Kanchi was also a center of Buddhism and Jainism, especially education. So he came here as a Buddhist and he noted that the city was 10 kilometers approximately in circumference and that its people were well known for their bravery, piety, love of justice and veneration for learning. So that suggests that Kshatriyas and Brahmanas were prominent. From Kanchi also, so it's said, although we don't know for sure. It's from here that Bodhidharma, the name of a Buddhist monk who was actually a prince, the son of one of the Pallava kings, from here he set out and brought Buddhism, particularly Zen Buddhism, and to China, and introduced there what is now known as Kung Fu and Shaolin. So although Buddhism declined in India, it continued to prosper elsewhere. And also from here, Theravada Buddhism was taken by the Mon people to what is now Myanmar, and that spread to Thailand, and also some famous Buddhists here, but we don't care much about them, in the Madhyamic school, Mahayana. But anyway, that's a little background, but we're not so much interested in all of this. We're interested in Krishna, isn't it? So this place is a great place of the Sri Vaishnavas. Vallabhacharya also came here. There's a Vallabhaitak. Different places, Vallabhacharya throughout India recited Srimad Bhagavatam. They're called Vallabhaitaks, and they're places of worship up to the present day in the Vallabh Sampradaya. But of course, this is most famous for Shiva worship. The biggest temple and the most famous temple in the town is Ekambareshwar Temple. Well, also very famous is the Kamakshi Temple, Durga Temple. Although in the Brahmanda Purana, it's stated that this is, she's not Durga, she's actually Lakshmi. And it's also stated there that Dasharath worshipped her for the sake of getting sons. So, these two temples are very famous. The Ekambareshwar Temple, because very big and extraordinarily in its ornate carving, and Kamakshi Temple is famous, Shakti Pitam. Throughout India there are Shakti Pitam. Some of the India now, what is traditionally was called India. And that is also intimately linked with the Kanchi Kamakoti Pita of Shankaracharya. So, but we're particularly interested in the Krishna temple. This is a place where there are, in different accounts, it sometimes says 14 and in some 15, that there are Divya Deshams in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. Yeah, this place is, among the Vaishnavas, is particularly associated with the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, the Sampradaya from Ramanuja Acharya, or that is particularly associated with Sri Ramanuja Acharya. 14 or 15 Divya Deshams. I guess that includes the surrounding villages, of which the Varadaraj Paramal Mandir is the largest and best known. Ramanujacharya, of course, appeared in this world at Sri Parambadur, which is about, I would guess, about 4 days' walk, depending on 4 days' walk from Kanchi. What do you think, Sri Giridhari? 25? That's all? Oh, so one day's walk if you're on a good march. 25 kilometers. Oh. Sri Perambadur is northwest of Chennai and this is southwest. Somehow it's true. All right, I'll take your word for it. So Ramanuja lived here during his youthful life, most of his youthful life. He lived here as his short household life, and he was under the guidance of one of his gurus, one of the famous devotees, Sri Kanchi Purnam, who would regularly speak with Varadharajan. And also here he first met, Ramanuja met two of his gurus, Yamuna Acharya. He just had a Yamuna in the course of begging door to door. He came to the house of Ramanuja and immediately Ramanuja recognized him as a great personality, although he never officially took initiation from him. And he also met here Mahapurnam, another of his gurus. So this is very important in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya in so many ways, because so many of the alvas, the 12 alvas, they visited here and sung their songs, prabandhams. Sri Rangam is the only place where all of them praised the deity. But I believe 10 or 11 of them here also. And Ramanuja, he lived here. There are more. I'll come back to that later. Oh, it's also the birth. This is also big, big figure in the history of Vaishnavism in Kali Yuga. Vedanta Deshika, great acharya of the Ramanuja Sampradaya. He was also born here. And there's a temple to him here also. Varadharaja, he spoke the philosophy that is now known as Vishishtadvaita to Kanchi Purnam, and later that was collected by Ramanuja and systematically presented. So it's so important in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. Yeah, so the famous temples, I've said those, there are many. There's also one famous Murugan temple. So you have the whole Tamil culture here, the four main deities of Tamil Nadu. Shiva, Shakti, Vishnu and Murugan. They're all big, famous, ancient temples. The largest temple is the Ekambareshwar temple. Its gopuram is 59 meters high. Which is the tallest temple tower in all of India. It's also one of the Panchabhuta Stalams. Lord Shiva, in different temples in India, he manifests in each of the Prithvi, Jal, Vayu, Akash, Earth, and Agni. So in here he's the Earth. Here's the he's in the form of the among the five gross elements in which Lord Shiva manifests himself. He's here in the form of earth. The Kailashanath temple here is said from the secular point of view, historical point of view, it's the oldest Hindu temple in existence. This present Varadharaj temple, Varadharaj Perumal, is was built first of all over 1,000 years ago, and then it was expanded in course of time. The temple that we see, if you see, you have to go up to go to the temple, and below that is a wall. There are no windows, and you might wonder why there's nothing underneath. Well, there is. There's a big rock. It's built on a big rock, which is now no longer visible. At some places on the inside, you can see the rock protruding inside. So Varadaraja, he's the best of, he gives the best benedictions. So he's forehanded with a beautiful smiling face. If you go, you particularly note his beautiful smiling face. Often the description of Vishnu in Shastra is given as Prasanna Vadanam, very happy face. So especially among all the deities we can see, he's very smiling and happy. He has four hands. One of them he is Shankadhari, holding the conch. Another, he is Chakradhari, holding his Sudarshan Chakra. Then he is Gadadhari, holding the club. And the other hand is in for Varadan, holding out his hand, giving blessing. So he gives the best blessing. What is that? Written on his hand is Ma Shuchaha. As you know from Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tva Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Yashami Ma Shuchaha. Krishna says, surrender to me, take full shelter in me only, giving up all other ideas, whatever you might think is dharma, what should be done, what should not be done. Give up all of that. Surrender to me only. That's all. I will deliver you from all sinful reaction. Ma Shucha, written on his hand. Don't worry. Nothing to worry about, nothing to lament about. So this is the best benediction that he gives. To in this material world, the best benediction we can have is don't worry, be free from all anxieties. That is only possible at the lotus feet of Krishna. And when we go beyond this material world, there is Krishna Prema. But first of all, don't worry. That is Krishna's ultimate instruction in Bhagavad Gita. Don't worry. Often materialistic people, they say, no worries, mate. No, nothing to worry about. Everything's good, everything's fine. But they should be worried because they didn't hear Bhagavad Gita. They didn't surrender to Krishna. So they may imagine themselves to be free from anxieties, but they must be chintam aparimayamcha. They must be full of unlimited anxieties, even if they fool themselves into thinking that I have nothing to worry about. But they'll find that they have all kinds of things to worry about in 8,400,000 species of life. The worm is worrying about the bird he will come to catch. The bird is worrying about the cat that will come to catch him. The cat is worrying about the dog. The dog is worrying about the human who will come and strike him. The human is worrying about the snake. The snake is worrying about a bird, bigger bird, Garuda. And it goes on and on. Everyone is worried. Krishna says, don't worry. Surrender to me. No need of any worry. So this is the best of the benedictions that he gives. He has it beautifully decorated with golden chain. And he has the... And when we're talking about him, he's large deity. We don't have such large deities in our ISKCON. Very generally in South India, the deities are very big. Maybe When they were first installed, they didn't seem to be big, means by our estimation, we're small. But when they were first installed, or when they first manifest, he manifests from the Yajna of Lord Brahma, it may not have seemed so big, because in Kali Yuga we're all small. Otherwise, a deity that size in a previous yuga, you might just want to walk up and shake his hand, something like that. Because the same size, now we all shrunk. As is stated in the story of, who is that, Muchukunda? He was asleep for a long time and then he woke up and then he realized it's Kali Yuga because everyone shrunk. When everyone became so short. Been sleeping for a long time. How long? A few thousand years. And in the meantime, everyone shrunk. So he's very big compared to us and has a necklace with the Vishnu Sahasranam inscribed on that. He appeared from the fire of the sacrifice performed by Lord Brahma, and therefore on his face there are some pinkish spots. Now it said that the British were ruling here at one time. There was Lord Clive, famous in the history of British rule in India. As Srila Prabhupada said, just some ordinary people would come from Britain to India, and if they were enterprising enough, they could become a very big man. It was the land of opportunity for them. So Lord Clive, he was once going to fight to the Nawab of Erkad, which is northwest from here. That was also a historical place. So this was under Muslim rule at that time, and he was going there to fight, but on the way he became very sick and had severe stomach pains. So he thought, how can he go and fight? But some of the priests there at the temple, they gave him a little prasad and a little charanamrita, and he was completely cured. So he went and fought and was successful, and then he came back and he offered a very valuable emerald necklace, which is still called the Clive Makarakandi, or necklace. And that's offered to the Lord. He wears it on special days, on Utsavs. Now there's another story. He came back again some other time, this Lord Clive, Robert Clive. This is during the 1700s. And he saw that the Lord was being fanned. Yesterday, the pujari was kind enough, when we went for darshan there, to give us the fan, and all of us in our little group, we had the opportunity to fan the Lord. So this place is very hot most of the year. Probably those of you who are coming from Europe are thinking it's hot, but this is the winter. And in the summer, it becomes very hot. All of India becomes hot, but one of the hottest places here is here. So this Lord Clive, he saw, he wouldn't have gone inside the temple, but the deity for festivals comes out. Wouldn't have gone inside means they're not allowed inside. Even the British rulers respected that. Still there's a sign, no Hindus allowed, no non-Hindus allowed inside. But they let us go. So he was doubtful, why is the deity being fanned? It was extremely hot, but he had the idea that the deity is some statue, some stone. So one of the pujaris, he showed to Clive, You see, he showed him some dry cloth. Then he wiped the forehead of the Lord, and then he brought that and he put that on the hand, and it was damp. So then Lord Clive could understand. There are many such stories related with the British. At Madhurantakam, there's a whole long story. We went there also one time. How all the villages were going to be inundated with the rain, the lake was going to overflow, and some British man who was the what we'd nowadays call the district collector or something like that. He, finding no other recourse, he prayed to Lord Ram. He said that, well, I never believed in you, but if you are there, all these people, they love you, they're all going to be inundated and drowned if this lake breaks its banks. So you please save them. Then he had a vision of Ram and Lakshman. And then the rain stopped and the water went down. And then he also he built a shrine or something like that. And there's some inscription there to the present day. There are many such things. There were many such cases. Here in South India, it seems, especially. If we look carefully, mostly when we go in the temples, we just walk in and see, but actually there's so much intricate carving and so much endeavor went into making these temples. Gokul Chandra Prabhu, he sees in great detail because he's making one temple in Salem. So most of us, we just walk past and we don't see, but he's seeing all the details because he has to make a temple like that, which will be the first temple like that, Vishnu temple in South India for maybe centuries. This here in Kanchi, that for Chandrasekharendra, they made a stone temple. But for Vishnu, this is the first stone temple being made in South India for centuries, maybe. So you pointed out to me yesterday how there is some pillars are carved with like chains, but to carve that requires great expertise because it's very very easy that it'll get broken unless the carver is completely expert. So it's almost like a certificate of the expertise of the carver that he can carve what looks like a chain. If you're there with Gokul Chandra Prabhu, he can show you. Just to show that they're so expert in their work, and you'll find there are all scenes from Mahabharata and different, so many things. There are paintings there, maybe with vegetable colors. These temples, they are places of culture. Culture means bhakti. In impersonalism, what culture is there? You're just sitting and looking at the end of your nose and chanting Om. It's by its very definition, there's nothing to get excited about, nothing to praise, nothing to glorify, just like that. The object of worship is the end of your nose. Or if they have any object of worship, their idea is that you worship, and then when you become perfect, then you give up the worship. But real culture means Krishna bhakti. So these temples, they are centers of bhakti everything that is pleasing is offered to Krishna. So previously the kings would sponsor this. Now the kings are gone. And the great contribution of the Indian government and the state governments is not only do they not sponsor the temples, but they loot them. They were complaining that the British were looting. The British didn't loot the temples like the Indian government or the state governments. They take they take away, and so the temples are in a state of poverty. Otherwise, these temples would have hundreds of brahmanas. Now the brahmanas are all in Chennai and Bangalore and Silicon Valley. How will they live? Government doesn't like to support. So, verily, Kali Yuga is here. The rulers are stealing from the temples. They're supposed to give. So they previously they sponsored the arts in all forms. There would be elephants, so many elephants, just for only for the service of the deity. There'd be so many elephants. So many people would be employed as musicians, dancers. Now that's also outlawed. There should be women dedicated for dancing for the Lord. All arts are meant for him, but that's all dismantled now, thanks to secularism. At the back of the hall is the Ananta Tirtham, or Ananta Sarovara is another name, where this, the first of all, Ananta Deva, to witness the pastimes of the Lord, he manifested there. And actually the original or deity of Varadaraja is within the water to keep cool. Inside a silver chest. In the intense heat of the summer, he entered the water, and only every 40 years he asked to be put in the water. Every 40 years he comes out for 48 days. So you can find out when that is. After 5 years. So lots of big festivals coming up. There's Ramanuja's 1000th birth centenary. And then just 2 years after that, that'll be a great festival. After 5 years. So, to a large extent, the traditional culture is going on here as far as possible. Still cooking the same items as were cooked in ancient times, using firewood in the kitchens, using brass pots, the bronze pots. In the past, they used to use silver also, but I don't know if they still do. That's one thing you haven't got is you have bronze pots, but not silver pots. But I guess someone will steal it if you have silver pots. Otherwise, you have firewood there. Nrsimha Dev is also worshipped here. This is also known as a Nrsimha Kshetra, because it was taking permission from him that Lord Brahma first began his sacrifice here. Also in Puri, that Nrsimha temple is there. That's the first temple in Puri, and it was the Brahma also took permission from there for performing the yajna at the beginning of creation. Inside the temple, you'll find there's a golden lizard and a silvered lizard, which you can go up and you touch. And if you do that, you get free from all sins, if you forgot to chant your rounds and you did some sins. Otherwise, you chant Hare Krishna. But the pilgrims, they come there. There's some story. What is that you told that? That two sons of a rishi, they brought water for the father for doing his puja or whatever, and a lizard had fallen in it. And they didn't notice. So he cursed them that you become lizards. And then how can we get free from this curse? And then they said, you have to worship, you have to take darshan of the Lord at Kanchi. So in commemoration of that, there's the form of a golden lizard and a silver lizard, which you can go and touch and get free from all sinful reactions. Now, Ramanuja, he was here. He was studying under Yadav Prakash, who was a propounder of Advaita philosophy. Somehow Ramanuja came under his tutelage. But Ramanuja, he didn't like, at that time his name was Lakshman Deshikarni. He later became known. He was serving Yadav Prakash, studying from him Shastra, but he didn't like his explanations. Ramanuja didn't like Yadav Prakash's explanations of Shastra. And he would keep on politely refuting Yadav Prakash's explanations. And Yadav Prakash became very upset. He said, I'm the guru, you're the disciple, I'm explaining Shastra according to the previous acharyas. That's the system, isn't it? The guru explains according to the previous acharyas. The problem in this case was that Yadav Prakash was teaching according to Shankaracharya and the followers in his line. So although it was according to Shastra, it is parampara, but Ramanuja didn't accept it. Which Yadav Prakash thought, well, this is extremely arrogant. You shouldn't do this. Ramanuja's teaching, that became known at that time as a new religion. Of course, it's not new, but the influence of Shankara's Advaita was so widespread that there was no systematic propagation of or understanding of Vaishnav Dharma. Ramanuja established that. Of course, the Vaishnavism is always there, and there were the Alvas previous to that. But as I say, it wasn't systematically established. That was one of the things that Yamuna Acharya ordered Ramanuja, or rather, Ramanuja understood that Yamuna's wish for him. One of the points was to write a commentary on Vedanta Sutras. So that was the Vaishnav commentary to refute that of Shankara, which was considered the commentary on the Vedanta Sutras. So in his youth, Ramanuja, he caused great anger in Yadav Prakash, so much that Yadav Prakash, together with other of his pupils, his disciples, they conspired to kill Ramanuja. So that's a whole history, how Ramanuja escaped from that, and later Yadav Prakash actually became his disciple. Later Ramanuja moved, and that became the base for the rest of his long life, in his sannyas life. He was married here. He's known as Yati Raj, the king of sannyasis, but actually in his youth he was married. There's no record of him having, at least I never heard he had any children, so he wasn't married very long before he left here and took sannyas, and then he was based in Srirangam from that time onward. But by his preaching, he was attracting followers to this Vaishnav life, Vaishnav Dharma, which was clearly and undisguisedly in opposition to the Advaita Vad of Shankara and its connected worship of Lord Shiva. So here in South India, there's a long tradition of rivalry between Vaishnavas and Shaivas, worshippers of Lord Shiva. And Kanchi is a focal point of that, because there's a major Shiva temple. There's the major center of Shankara philosophy, the Kama Koti Pitam. And when Nityananda Prabhu came here, he saw that the Vaishnavas and the Shaivas, they're very bitterly involved in opposing each other. So Nityananda, he didn't get involved. He just laughed and moved on. He didn't get involved in their discussions. We don't have any record of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu getting involved in their discussions either. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here for 2 days, it's described, and he chanted and danced, and just by his chanting and dancing, everyone became Vaishnavas. So that there's a lot of bitterness in all of Indian religious history. It said that, well, Hindus are very tolerant, but traditionally here in South India, there's been fierce rivalry between Shaivas and Vaishnavas, and became very serious to the point that some of the kings opposing each other would want to even kill each other. And in fact, that's what happened when in Kanchi, the impersonalists, seeing the rising influence of Ramanuja, they wanted to kill him. So the king at Kanchi sent a message for Ramanuja to come to discuss the scriptures to Kanchi, but actually the idea was to kill him, or to either win him over or to kill him or to maim him or some such thing. So at that time in Sri Rangam, Kuresh, who was a cousin of Ramanuja, he thought there's something, he didn't trust, this person, this king. So he said, okay, you take my white cloth, I'll take your sannyas danda and your red cloth, and I will go. So that king, Krimikanta, he became known like that later. Means worms in the throat. He was he got some disease. Anyway, you'll find out why. Because being unable, they thought he was Ramanuja, but being unable to overcome him, they put out his eyes. So sinful. And Koresh, he said, well, thank you very much. Now I don't have to see you anymore. It's better. Better I have my eyes out. My eyes have become so contaminated by seeing you. He was fearless, clearly. He was fearless. So back in, I believe it was back in Sri Rangam, that Ramanuja, he petitioned the Lord. Or was it here? I've got it written down here. That Ramanuja, he petitioned the Lord. Yeah, he petitioned, there was at Sri Rangam, that to give his eyesight back. So are you all ready? If anyone wants to tell you, Krishna is not supreme. We're ready for this, Srila Prabhupada said. So we've heard. Well, that's in Satsarupa Maharaj's book, ISKCON in the 1970s. Srila Prabhupada said, why are you concerned about opposition? The time will come when they will shoot on you. So if you're actually preaching Krishna consciousness, we can expect that the time will come when people will shoot us. They'll want to shoot. So that is in the history of Vaishnavism. The devotees, they're ready for that. Now we're so limp and wimpy that we're afraid of people not liking us. The Prabhupada said we should be ready for shooting on us. Unfortunately, due to the government's mismanagement and not paying the pujaris even nowhere nearly enough so that they can make a living, if you go to visit many of the temples here, you'll find they're closed a lot of the time. And they're neglected and not properly cleaned. So that's another attack on Vaishnavism. The whole Tamil Nadu has been theism has been under attack from the first of all, what's that? That's who's that? The guru Periya, and then that his teachings were taken up by the political party. So really, we should preach very strongly here and establish the real. We should meet the Sri Vaishnava Jiyas, the acharyas, and tell them the best way we can. They now in 3 years, I believe it is, the celebration of Sri Ramanuja Acharya's 1000th birth celebration. So there'll be festivals and recital of the Divya Prabandhams and speeches, but we should tell them that in fact, Sri Giridhari, if you're around somewhere, you can tell him. He's probably running around. He's organizing all that. Tell them now. The best, we should start now. The best way to celebrate following in the spirit of Ramanuja is to preach very strongly about the supremacy of Vishnu and drive away the atheism. Then there'll be a real follower of Ramanuja. Simply to make some festival, that should be done. But the real thing should be to defeat and drive out this atheism. Get the government to remove that Periya statue in Sri Rangam, which is directly an insult to all the acharyas and all the Vaishnavas of the past and the present. So that will be the proper celebration. We should tell them. What's some other points I made? Oh yeah, so yeah. There are so many temples here. You can be the Divya Deshams. Among them, some of them. One of them's in the Ekambareshwar temple. One of them's in the Kamakshi temple. And others are throughout the town. It's not a very big town, and in villages surrounding. Trivikram Paramal, because he's expanding himself to. Trivikram means Vamana. So he's expanding himself to cover the whole universe. So you can see he's very big and tall. By our estimation, we can't make a deity that will stretch up to the height of the universe. But at least for our estimation, he looks very big. Another very, very big in size is Pandava Duta. Last time? One of the times we came here, in 2007, that we came here and we did Shravan Kirtan, but it was mostly Kirtan. We were going from temple to temple. Chitahari led non-stop Kirtan for 2 days. And we visited the temple, we spoke a little bit in each temple, and then again, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, from on and on, we visited the temples like that. And so many devotees must be coming here. The local people, they all know ISKCON, Hare Krishna, because so many devotees are coming. So another, the Pandava Duta is a very sweet name of the Lord, because he is Vishwanatha. Vishwanatha is generally a name given to Lord Shiva. Jagannath. He's the Lord of the universe, but he becomes the messenger of the Pandavas. He becomes this as if the servant of the Pandavas. So that is one of the deities here. And another name of one of the deities here, very celebrating the Lord's sweetness, Yathoktakari. Yata Ukta Kari. He follows the order of his devotee. So this deity, he's in the Shayan form, Supta Vigraha, lying down. Many of the deities in South India especially are in the lying down form. And mostly they are reclining on their on one side, on the facing toward the left. But here he's facing toward the right, because at one point he got up. His one king who was here wanted the devotee, one great devotee there, to use his mystic powers to restore the youth of the king so he could enjoy sense gratification. So the devotee thought, well, forget it, I'm leaving here. But he couldn't leave the Lord behind, so the Lord came with him. That was Tirumala Sayalva. Again, excuse the Tamil pronunciation. Wrong Tamil pronunciation. So the Lord came with him, and seeing this, the whole city became dark. When the Lord left, the light left, the whole city became dark. So the king went behind and petitioned the devotee, please come back. He came back, the Lord came back, and then he lay down in that position. And he's been like that ever since. Yeah, there are many mosquitoes here also. Just about 7 kilometers from here is another Divya Desham. Divya Desham means a holy place of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. There's Vijay Raghava. And this is the place where, according to the Vamana Puran, where Lord Rama, he performed the final rites for Jatayu. So there's a little bit about the history, the spiritual history of Kanchipuram. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one of the books that he wanted to write, but he didn't, because he didn't have time in the course of his busy life in preaching. He wanted to write one book called Paramarthik Bharat, Spiritual India. So one big volume could be written on this Kanchipuram. So there's an introduction, and from tomorrow we'll have discussion continuing. So I think we have time, we can sing another kirtan. Let's just see what's on the list. Yeah, that's time. So we can sing Dashavata Stotram. Please, in your book, you can get your book. The Hindi-speaking devotees, did you get your song sheet? If you didn't get it, here are our Gurukul boys from Salem. You all know this, right? Dashavata Stotram. You can sing this. Songbook? Well, we have a songbook here. You can get one. Best if you learn it. When you're young, you can learn, you can memorize. Yeah, many mosquitoes. Huh? Another sign of Kali Yuga. Does everyone have a songbook? I think not. If you didn't get it, then please get one. Where are they available?
When they come into the room.
When you come into the room.
Yes, but some devotees have just arrived here.
Some devotees came here directly and didn't to this pandal and didn't come to the... Anyway, please, you can try and share with others. Look in your iPhone, in the Veda base?
Not allowed inside.
Very good. Thank you very much. All right. All future organizers of the Shravan Kirtan camps, you can take note of this. Solve the cell phone problem. Don't allow them inside. Okay, please sing. Dashavatha Stotram.